Again, we just ask, Lord Jesus, as we take a moment to go into your word, that you would anoint, you would prepare our hearts to hear the message, not only to hear it, but apply it to our lives, apply it to how we live out our Christ-likeness. And Lord Jesus, you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Like Marty said this morning, I'd like to talk a minute about freedom, and the freedom that we're looking at is not free, because freedom has cost somebody something as we celebrate 243 years of this country being independent. We understand that it is not free. We understand that someone had to pay the price for us, and we also need to understand this. Even though freedom is offered, there is some people that don't want freedom. They don't want freedom because freedom still does cost you something. Freedom does still line you up. And there is some people that actually in freedom, and I'll explain myself in a minute, they would have to be set free. They would have to change. They would have to look at things in a different way, and they're not willing to do that. And my poor puppy, sometimes I use him as an example, but here's the case. My Westie, and don't get me wrong, my Westie likes sometimes to be free. He desires to be free, but he doesn't always know what that freedom is going to cost him. He doesn't always like that I keep him on the leash. It seems like, and if you have a dog, you'll understand what I'm saying, it seems like he is one sniff, 1 foot away from where he's at. Say amen to that? That dog always wants to be 1 more foot. 1 sniff, that bush over there, that all of those things. But in reality, if I didn't keep him on the leash, his freedom would actually cause him injury or maybe death, because he would chase a squirrel. He would run out into the road. He would eat something that is not good for him. He would eat till he's sick on something that was laying in the road. All these crazy things that he would do in his freedom, because he doesn't understand that freedom costs something. Freedom has to be within guidelines. Our kids, say amen, our kids, in their quest for freedom, all will always think that they know best. What took you your whole life to learn, they're in their short life feel like they know it all. Only one person's going to be honest. Amen. Because in their freedom, they're trying to find themselves. They would look for ways that they could have their choices and make those things, but they still want, especially at a young age, they still want their freedom, but they want you to pick up the consequences if they make a mistake. In their freedom, they still live under your roof. So in their freedom, they still need some kind of guidelines. Did you see where I'm going? So when you look at these things, there's not one of us this morning that hasn't paid the price for somebody else's freedom. Say amen? In the sense that somebody else has made a bad choice and it has affected you. How many have been hurt by someone that thought in their freedom they would do something and end up hurting you? Freedom is a choice, and it's made with every decision. We read about it. We dream about it. Some people in other countries even hope that they would find this freedom. And freedom is kind of a two-sided thing. We want to look a minute about the physical freedom that we're celebrating as a nation, but we also want to look at the spiritual side of it, and both are really important to us. And a lot of times in today's society, we're so worried about the physical freedom. We're so worried about the choices that we get here and now that we forget about the spiritual side and the freedoms that we need to be looking at so that we can spend eternity with the Lord. We spend a lot of time talking about and complaining about this country, but it is still the best place in the world to live. Can you say amen to that this morning? We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people that this morning we can come to worship here and nobody's busting the doors. Now, I don't know what the future holds, and there may be a day that that's going to happen. But right now, as a nation, we can come to worship. As a nation, we can gather together and have a place that we can call worship. Spiritual freedom is temporary. We look at that, and it's really, as long as we live on this earth, spiritual freedom is eternity. Spiritual bondage could be eternity, and we got to look at these things in perspective and understand that the Bible has a lot to say about freedom. The Bible has a lot to say about spiritual freedom. One will cost you eternity if you don't get it right. Our declaration says this: that all people living in this country who are citizens of the United States are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that our forefathers had spiritual insight to be able to understand that it was more than the physical freedom that they were looking for, even though they signed this Declaration of Independence and signed that they were looking and seeking physical freedom from Great Britain. But they realized that both the physical freedom and the spiritual freedom was tied to our Creator. Say amen to that. That God was involved in both things. I don't think, especially as a believer, that you can separate the two and look at these blessings of following Christ and not see that both your physical and your spiritual freedom is tied to Christ. So point number one, the freedom we have in this country, and I believe that the freedom we have, that someone has paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. All freedoms in this country have cost someone something. When you stop and go back and you think of the men in 1776 that stood their ground against Great Britain and said, you know, we're no longer going to be under your authority, and we're going to fight and stand to be set free. And they left England and set ground on what is now America because they believed that there was more. They wanted the freedom not only for physical but spiritual freedom to be able to worship God. We honor the men and women that are in our military that have given their lives and protect our borders and do all of these things to maintain the freedom that we have. We sit here right now because there are men and women guarding our borders to keep us from people that want to harm us, because evil left in itself will destroy freedom. Can you say amen to that? To think that just being quiet, just being passive would be enough, would not be enough, because within minutes, people would take over our border. Because evil doesn't look at being peacemakers. Evil doesn't look at people just trying to get along. The strongest one will survive. And so we sit here this morning being blessed because somebody is looking out for our borders and somebody is watching over us. Our freedoms also must not interfere with the rights and freedoms of others. Because if I desired to get in my pickup truck today and drive out of here at 100 miles an hour, even though I thought this is my right, there is law of the land that is going to say, you know what, you don't have the freedom to do that. Because in that you would take and restrict and harm and could destroy somebody else in your what you're calling freedom, because in the sin nature there's got to be our lives have to be not abused, our lives have to be not looked at in the sense that there must be uniform law, the military to guard our borders, police to protect and serve at the local level. And we can take a moment this morning to thank God that we live in America. Thank God that even if we want to protest, and even if we don't agree in 100% with every single person, we still have a right to live in a free country. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." What does that really look like? People don't understand what the Lord is trying to tell us in our freedom. Our text is Galatians 5, one verse this morning and backed up by several others, but it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Our spiritual freedom comes from Christ. It is accomplished in what Christ has done for us on the cross. He tells us that in our freedom, don't forget the Lord. In our freedom, stand firm and do not let what the Lord has already done for us be taken away by a yoke of slavery. The only way we can really measure freedom is whether Christ has set us free. Say amen to that. Spiritually, that is the only way that we can measure our freedom is whether Christ has set us free and whether we have chosen to be set free and whether we choose to remain in bondage. To remain in bondage is each one of our choices. The Apostle Paul tells us and warns us in several verses not to allow ourselves to be burdened down by the yoke of slavery that Christ has set us free from. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him, talking about Christ, and through him, in faith, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I have a right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have a right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You may be having the right in this great country to live any way that you want, but knowing that it doesn't please the Lord, Apostle Paul is telling us that may not be beneficial for you. Immorality, greed, hatred, gossip, all of these things may be all right. That may be your physical right. But do they line up with the word of the Lord? Do they line up with the way we should be behaving as believers and those that want to keep a right relationship? In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The psalmist writes in Psalms 119:45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your concepts. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, but do not let your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And then we live in a day and age today, nobody wants to be told what to do. No one wants to be burdened down. And when the word talks about a slave here, we're talking about our choice to be a servant. It's our desire to serve him. It's our desire that in our freedom that we choose to serve God, live for God, work in within his parameters. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and a result is eternal life. So here's a couple thoughts. As we move into this, move into talking about freedom, freedom is not doing what you want to do. It is doing what pleases the Lord. Amen? You have chosen to be a servant of Christ over what your sin nature wants. All freedom involves structure. Being a servant of God by choice allows us to be free to do what we want as long as it lines up with the Word of God. And when we do what the Lord wants, we actually live within the originality and the creation that God meant us to be, because all freedom has structure. Even our spiritual freedom has moral laws, has moral guidelines, it has the Ten Commandments, has Christ living us in our lives that he desires. If we truly understand freedom in Christ, we will know the truths of God. We will live the truths of God. We will throw off immediately, the Word of God tells us, the lies and the deceptions that will put us back where Christ has freed us from. So how do we do that? How do we live out that life? If it was that easy, then why aren't more people doing it? Why don't we live in a day and age where the Lord can work in people's lives? Why isn't the church taking the stance that they're supposed to stand? Why aren't we as a congregations coming together and allowing God to do these things? Well, number one is total surrender. You know, that if I was taking notes, I would say, how do we not live these things out? is because we're not living in total surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. James 4, 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's a choice to be made here. Therefore, having a humble and submissive heart is a choice that we make. To surrender means that as born-again believers, that we desire more than we want our own choices to be, but we submit to Christ and to allow him to do the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives to conform us to his image. We have a lot of Christians living their lives as babes in Christ that have been Christians for many years. Anybody out there? There has to come a time of growth, and there has to be a time that we go from milk to meat. The believer accepts the grace of God and the provisions of God to walk in the Spirit and not after the manner of the old nature. The work is accomplished by choosing to apply ourselves to God's word. Second thing is to know who you are in Christ. Know the identity that who you are in Christ, that as a believer, the time that we come to the Lord, that we throw off these other things, and the time that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we take on this new identity, the old identity is thrown off of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. You no longer have to lug around. This is for somebody this morning. You no longer have to lug around your old identity before Christ. You are who God says you are. Amen. That ought to get somebody excited this morning. You are who God says you are. You don't have to listen to some of the old things that are being said. What Christ says about you trumps every negative word or name spoken against you. You are a child of God. You are an inheritance of God, and which makes you very important in Christ's eyes. You don't have to be like me. Say amen to that. And some of you, I'm glad. You don't have to be like me. You have to be more like Christ. You don't have to be like the person sitting next to you. You have to be more like Christ. When Christ says, I can do all things through Christ, he's telling us, I can change who you are into who you need to be. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Our identity is in Christ. It's not in a preacher. It's not in a prophet. It's not in grandma or grandpa or anybody else. It's in Christ. They may all have factors in on who you are and how you got to the point to make a decision in Christ, but you are who God says you are because of what Christ has done in our lives. Number three is lean not on your own understanding. One of the things I say the most is that Christ doesn't want us to become robots. He just gives us a desire that we would want to act more like Christ. I'm saying as a believer, we should act more like Christ. The word tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he shall make your path straight. God's ways are always above our ways. So if we rely on our understanding, at times we're going to get in trouble. God sees all, knows all, works behind the scenes in ways we have no idea. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose. The end result is to find Christ. Say amen to this morning. Anybody out there? What choices are you making? What choices are you making? How are we helping others to avoid the trap of comparison? How are we helping others to learn that there is more than earthly freedom, but there's spiritual freedom? How can we, in the closing minutes here, how can we find and enjoy the freedoms that the Lord allows us living in the United States? We need to understand and cherish our spiritual freedoms as well. Amen. We need to remember what people have done for us. We need to remember what Christ has done for us, learning every day that God has provided everything that's needed. So how do you do that? Total surrender, walking in Christ, knowing who you are in Christ, and not leaning on our own understanding. Would you bow your head with me? Father, this morning, as we look at our freedoms, we are grateful, Lord God, for the things that we are blessed to be born in the USA. We are blessed that there's freedoms in this country to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're blessed, Lord God, that in our quest to worship and serve you, that we have the freedom to be able to do that. Lord God, we also have and are blessed that we serve a Savior that has gone to the cross for us, has been resurrected for us. And because he's resurrected, we can be resurrected. And there's spiritual freedom there. That, Lord God, that our sins don't hold us back from a relationship with you. Because after they're under the blood, and after what Christ has done for us, there is freedom. There is liberty. We have a new identity because of who we are in Christ. Help us, Lord God, to be able to understand that. Help us, Lord God, that would make us want to share our faith. That would make us want to share our testimony with those that we come up against and those we work with and live next door to. Lord God, that we would be grateful and want to show that love to someone else, to have them be able to experience it. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.